Welcome to the May 4th, 2008 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is brought by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, But I Don't Like Suffering. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now, for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sounds like you're ready for worship. I got quiet all of a sudden. I always know when it's time to start, when y'all get quiet. So I know I'm ready to go. We are glad that you have decided to join us for worship this morning. My name is Jeff Allen. I'm Associate Pastor of Students and Families. If you are new with us this morning, we are so blessed with your attendance. Several things I'd like to call your attention to. We do have pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests alike. If you could take those and fill those out and check the appropriate boxes, that helps us find out who was here in worship. Also, it helps us to make sure who was missing in worship. So if you could fill that out, send it to the end of the pew so everybody has a chance to fill that out. And then if when it gets to the end, if you could send it back to where it got started, that would be helpful. Members, this is an opportunity for you to find out somebody on your pew that maybe you do not know. Find their name and introduce yourself at the end of the service. That would be very helpful. We are having children's time today. So right after the first hymn, hymn number 14, we're inviting the children to come right down here and visit with me for just a few minutes. This morning, we had a great time of our Sunday school celebration, and I think, Mary, you have an announcement about that.
I do thank all of y'all for being there this morning. I do have one presentation that I did not make this morning, that earlier this morning, that I do need to make, and I need Miss Georgie to come up here. Now, Miss Georgie is wearing her pins this morning, I see. We actually are behind on giving Miss Georgie her pins. I have for her perfect attendance 40th and 41st year, and I think actually she's up to 42 this year, but they had to special order that one. They had to special order that one, and it's not here yet. So. I say, and that's a whole lot of commitment right there, a whole lot of commitment. And so we're proud of you, Miss Georgie, and we're proud of all of y'all that have made our Sunday school program so good. And I'm so thankful for those of you who are inviting others and using that time to grow God's kingdom.
Okay. Mountain Outreach, which is our summer church-wide mission project to the hills of Kentucky, where our church goes up and we build a house in a week. Yes, if you're a guest, we build a house in a week. It's the most amazing thing. We are having our advance team go up May 15th and 16th. Is that correct? Mr. Rogers and others are going to be going up for that advance trip for Mountain Outreach. So if you're interested in going to see him for all the details. Today, it's lots of things happening in the life of our church. We're having our spring fling, which begins today at 4 o'clock. We'll have inflatable games and rock wall and several other things going on outside starting at 4 o'clock. And then we're going to throw some hamburgers on the grill and starting eating those at around 5:30. So we want you to come and just enjoy your time. If you've signed up to bring a dessert, if you bring that this afternoon, that would be helpful. And then we want you to stay for the life service, which is our contemporary service at 7 o'clock. That will be in Smith Hall. Also, today is the day before we go on the exam pack run. I'll be heading to all of our college students in North Carolina tomorrow morning. They are in the middle of exams. Some have already started. Some will start this week. But we're going to put together exam packs full of junk food and goodies, homemade and store-bought. We're going to put those together this afternoon. Now, because of Spring Fling, you have an amazing opportunity. I know it's a big secret how we put these exam packs together. I know it's complicated. It's complicated work. But you, too, will have the opportunity to witness the miracle right there in front of your very eyes during Spring Fling. So we need a few more goodies. We're making 50 exam packs to send to the college students, and we will be doing that during Spring Fling. So if you're not bringing a dessert for Spring Fling, we'd love for you to bring something for the college students. They are not very happy to see me when I go on this trip. They're happy to see the snack food. So we don't want to disappoint them. So any food that you can provide for our college students, that would be great. Let's see. We are just coming off of revival, and what a week it was. It was an amazing week with Reverend Randy Weeks. It was powerful for me, and I hope it was for all of you who were able to attend. In the busyness of the last night, we just overlooked the offering, and we know that some of you have been interested in giving an offering for that. All we ask that you do, if you're interested in giving an offering specifically to the revival, just take an envelope that you have there in front of you, in the pew in front of you, and just mark on the offering envelope revival with whatever gift that you would like to give. So that way you can give as you see fit. Let's see, we are having a youth lock-in at the end of this week, Friday and Saturday, so just a reminder to the teenagers about that to let me know that you are coming. I think that is it. We do want to say a special welcome to our guest this morning. You have already given us your information. You have taken the pew pad and put your name and other information down. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now that like to give you something. So if you're a guest this morning, we'd like for you just to raise your hand. As they come back down, just raise your hand. They'll be glad to give you a packet of information. Inside the packet is a letter from our pastor, as well as information about the history and the story of College Park, and a newsletter that tells you what's going on currently in the life of our church. So we appreciate the opportunity to worship with you this day. Worship is the thing that we do best at College Park. It's the thing that unites us. Whether we're in the toddler class or whether we're in adult four, it doesn't matter. We are all children of God. And it's a blessing for us to come together as children, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to worship the one true and living God. We begin that with our invitation to share in worship. This is a responsive reading that you will find in your bulletin. We invite you to stand now for this responsive reading. I invite you to read the dark print as a response as I read the light print. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice.
Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together.
I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears.
Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered in shame.
This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him.
You may be seated. Thank you. Will you pray with me? Our God, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Friend, you are a mighty fortress that nothing in this world can overtake. You are our strength. You are our shield. You are our protector. And Father, there are days when we just need to be protected. There are days when we feel like the world is just collapsing on us. And everything that we touch goes wrong or goes bad or hurts us. But Father, you have delivered us from all the trials and tribulations of this world. That even though we may go through the fire, you are there with us. And Father, we give you thanks. That's why we come to worship, to give you thanks. And to put into proper perspective in our life that you are God, the one we rely on. Father, we recognize that all that we have, our jobs, our families, the clothes that we wear, the food that we eat, the air that we breathe, is all a gift of your grace. It is nothing that we have earned. Your love is the greatest gift of all. It is what sustains us and what gets us through. So we come to worship. We come to praise. And we come to give thanks. Come into this place, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Children, come on down. Yeah. Hey, I didn't squeal this week. Hey, okay. All right. Good to see everybody. Waiting for all our sixth graders and younger to come on down. Yeah, here they're coming. They're coming. All right. Are you excited about spring fling this afternoon? Yeah. All right. Now, you have to promise me that every one of your dads or your granddads will get on the rock wall today. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You're going to have to go home and get them to go on the rock wall today. Okay. What's a rock wall? It's a big, dangerous thing, and your dad needs to go on. Okay? All right. Yeah, your dad, he's got a doctor's note, so it's okay. He doesn't have to go on. Now, I have a question. Have you ever been to the beach?
Yeah.
Well, that's a crazy question. Okay. I like the beach. Do y'all like the beach? Now, one of the things I don't like about the beach is, you know, you get and you go and you can play in the sand, right? That's fun. But have you ever, been buried in the sand up to your neck? Well, let me tell you, it's not a lot of fun. You think it's a lot of fun, but no, it's not. Because you get sand everywhere. And I mean everywhere you get sand. And it's hard. Is it hard to get sand off? Yeah, when you take a shower and it's just hard and you know, and it just sticks to you, doesn't it? When you go to the beach, sand just kind of sticks to you.
Wait. It sticks like glue.
It does stick like glue. And it can be a little bit of annoying, right? And you kind of, I can't get it off. And then it starts annoying your skin. Well, you know what? The oysters, you know what an oyster is?
No. What is it?
You know an oyster? A little, what's an oyster? Yeah, it's a little animal that lives in the ocean. And what it does, when it gets the sand inside, it annoys it. The oyster doesn't like the sand, and it shoots out this little liquid around the sand to kind of protect it. And it keeps shooting that little liquid until it gets rid of that sand. And it creates something that you might have seen before. Pearls. Now, these are not real. These are not real. I couldn't bring the real ones. These are what pearls look like. Now, what do you think? Aren't they pretty?
Yeah.
But didn't it start with that piece of sand that kind of is annoying and annoyed the oyster, kind of like sand gets on you, and the oyster just kind of threw this little liquid and protected itself from the sand. You know, sometimes in our life, there are things that happen that we don't like. We get hurt, we scuff our knee, somebody says something ugly to us. That's not fun, is it? Those things are not fun when those things happen. They do make us mad. But you know what God wants us to do is, you know, there are going to be times when we suffer, when we hurt, when somebody says something to us. He doesn't want us to go back after him. He wants us to rely on him to protect us. Like that little piece of sand, he's going to throw his love all around us like the oyster does to protect us from what hurts us. He wants you to do the same thing. When somebody says something ugly to you, throw God's love on it. Pastor Raymond, you're going to hear in a little while about suffering. Nobody likes to be hurt. Nobody likes to have things said or done to us. But God provides his love and his grace and something beautiful. You can have a new friend. You can be nice to somebody and something beautiful come out of it. Okay? Will you pray with me?
Yes.
Father, we thank you for your love and for your protection. We thank you for that. Sometimes bad things are going to happen. And we don't always understand why. But you put your love and your protection out there for us. Remind us that even though we don't like suffering, that you walk with us every day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll see you this afternoon.
Is that somebody?
Yes, Miss Jeffers.
The New Testament, and I'll be reading first from the book of Acts in the first chapter, beginning at verse 6. We pick up in verse 6 with Jesus meeting and speaking with his disciples. So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up to the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And also from the New Testament, in John's Gospel, the 17th chapter, beginning at verse 1, as we hear Jesus praying for himself and for his disciples. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words that you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." May God bless the reading and the understanding of his holy word. Will you pray with me? Almighty Father, it's very difficult to add to the words of your Son and the beautiful prayer that we read in John 17. Jesus, as he prays for himself and for his disciples. Lord, as believers, help us to hear and understand the words of Jesus, to reflect on the prayer, and to accept the same words and the same challenge that Jesus gave for his disciples, Lord, knowing how much that you love us, that you sent your Son, that he may suffer and die to save our sins. Lord, we thank you that through your Son and through your gift, that there is hope. There is hope in suffering. There is hope in sin. There is hope in guilt and shame and selfishness and insecurity and fear and anger and all the things that can bring us down. Lord, we thank you that pain and suffering is not the end of the story here, but that we have a reason for hope. We have a reason to believe and hold fast to you, that no matter what we're dealing with today, in this world, that you are bigger than that. Lord, we thank you for that promise. We thank you for the opportunity to understand that, to come to you in prayer and lift up our concerns. And we do, Lord. And on behalf of all believers, especially those that are here locally and those that are part of this body of Christ, we lift them up in all the things that they're dealing with, in all the ways that they need you. We lift them up, Lord, because we know that you are the end of the story, and that you are the reason for hope that we need to share and reinforce. Lord, help us to minister to each other, to build each other up, so that we may be one in you, just as Jesus prayed in the beautiful prayer for his disciples. Lord, thank you for the hope that you give us. Thank you for being with us and sustaining us. And it is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. You may see printed in your order of worship, celebration of Thanksgiving. At this time, I'm going to ask you to stand as we do something a little bit different this morning. One thing that we like to do on Wednesday nights, and we will do occasionally, is that Raymond will challenge us to take time to share what we're thankful about. Scripture tells us that we should be thankful and that we should share our thankfulness. And let's take this opportunity this morning to, as you stand, to greet the person to your left, to your right, or in front of you, or behind you, and share with them something that you're thankful about this morning.
Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the midst of all of our cares and concerns that we have each day, we are so often, we forget to stop and thank you for all that is good in our lives. Yes, we are often sideswiped by unfortunate distractions that cause us to place our focus on something other than you. The reality is that our blessings are many, and our hearts are filled with gratefulness for the gift of living, the gift of family, and most of all, Lord, the gift of your unconditional and eternal love. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.
We've had a tremendous week. I hope that you had an opportunity to be here for one or more or all of the revival services we had out on the front lawn. It really was. We got pretty much the whole spectrum of weather conditions for revival this year. We got a little bit spoiled last year with beautiful weather. And this year we had beautiful weather one night. And so it helped us appreciate some of the other weather experiences we had out there. We talked last week as we gathered here. We talked about being sideswiped by guilt. Then we went to selfishness Sunday night. Monday night we talked about insecurity. Tuesday night we talked about fear. And then Wednesday night we talked about anger. Well, with apologies to Randy because he's not here to preach this one, but I want to add one more to that. As we were looking at our revised common lectionary themes for this Sunday, one of the scripture passages that came up was 1 Peter. Talked about suffering. So I thought, well, that's kind of appropriate too, because many of us get sideswiped by suffering. And being sideswiped is something that kicks you off of the main path. And once you get kicked off the main path, you have a choice. You can either hit the ditch and stay there, or you can make a correction and get back on course. That's our two choices. We have that opportunity. And as I thought about that in terms of suffering, commercials came to mind. I don't know why. Maybe I watch too much TV. But there's a commercial series by Nationwide. And I'm not advocating any particular insurance company. I just think they're cute commercials because the punchline is life comes at you fast. Have you seen those? Some of them are hysterical. Some of the earliest ones had a child. A child was being fastened into a car seat in the back seat, and the parents get in the front of the station wagon. They're driving down the road, and they just keep glancing in the rearview mirror, and the baby's doing the cuckoo, I'm cute baby thing in the car seat, and they drive on down the road, and then they glance back to see him again, and you've got this teenager propped up in this car seat, and the caption pops up, life comes at you fast. Not long after that, they came out with one. If you remember, the father is pushing the son in the little swing. Baby's having a great time. This is great stuff. The father glances away. When he looks back, he gets knocked down. And the camera pans back, and you see this teenage boy in the little swing. And it pops up, life comes at you fast. Now they're doing them with the cars. I mean, those poor people that own those cars, you know, people throwing couches out the second floor and going on the cars and everything. But these... They're funny, but they make a serious point. Life does come at us fast. One minute, everything can be fine. Everything's hunky-dory. And the next minute, it seems like someone just yanked the carpet right out from underneath us. And when that happens, we have a choice. Usually what happens is we kind of pull back in anger or disbelief. And we want to know, how can a God who speaks about love, why doesn't he keep us from suffering? And 1 Peter has the answer to that. 1 Peter, if you'll turn with me. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4, I'll begin reading in verse 12. And I know the lectionary reading says through verse 14, but we're going to move on to 16. So 1 Peter 4, 12 through 16. And Rick, can I have a little bit more volume on the lavalier? I can't hear myself bouncing off the wall yet, so... The people in the back appreciate that, right? 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial that you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rest on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. And then jumping over in chapter 5, verse 8, he continues. He says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. and the glory and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. And back up and pick up verse 6 as well. 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Look back at the beginning of this text that we read this morning. He starts out, dear friends, in verse 12. Dear friends. Actually, a more accurate translation of that and the New American Standard, more word for word, is beloved. New American Standard, English Standard Version, all pick this phrase up, beloved. And what does that tell us? Peter is addressing people that he cares about. He cares about them, and he knows that God cares about them. And he knows that in spite of everything that they've been through, that they are God's beloved people. In the midst of suffering, hang on to that. We are God's beloved. That may be what gets you through with hope. Beloved. What does that say to you? Let me say this to you. Beloved, you shouldn't be surprised when you're suffering. Why? God became flesh and he dwelt among us. He walked among us. And scripture says he suffered. He suffered even unto death. The Son of God suffered. What makes us think we shouldn't? There are a lot of things that are wrong with this world. There are a lot of things that are broken about this world. And in due time, all of that is going to be made new. Someday that will happen. But until that time comes, don't be surprised when you experience suffering. If you believe that any person of God should not suffer, then you are elevating yourself above the Son of God, because he suffered. And if we, in our minds, somehow think, I shouldn't have to go through this, what that does is has an effect. We become discouraged. And we begin thinking that life just isn't going the way we planned. And what will happen at that point is we'll be tempted to think one of two things. Either that God is punishing you, and have you ever said that? God, why are you doing this to me? What did I do? Either God is punishing you or that he just doesn't care. That he's checked out on the process. I created it. We'll be there at the end. For now, you're on your own. That's the temptation. Either God's punishing me or God just doesn't care. And I'm not sure which one of those is the more... I don't know. You know what? Peter tells us that's exactly what Satan wants us to believe. That God just doesn't care, or that he's out to get us. Peter describes Satan as a lion who's roaming about looking for someone to devour. Satan is going to do whatever he can to make sure that we as God's people believe that God doesn't want us to have new life, that God does not want us to have abundant life, that God does not want us to understand how much he loves us. And the one thing that Satan wants for us is that the people of God lose hope in the God that loves them so much, loves us so much. So what are we to do? Verse 6 that I jump back to gives us the answer. It says, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Can humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. And it goes on within the context of the word beloved. Remember, that's how he's opening all this. We're God's beloved. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Notice he didn't say cast all of your suffering, cast all your heartache. He didn't say that. Because that's easy for us to do, isn't it? When we're suffering, we want to cast that on God. God, fix it. My heart's broken. I'm hurting. Fix this. Take this away from me. But what do we do with the anxiety? We like to hold on to that. It's kind of like a red badge of courage. People ask her, how are we doing? Oh, I'm so upset about. We keep the anxiety because we think somehow that makes us more courageous as believers. And the thing is, we don't want to give anxiety to God. Because if we give anxiety to God, we lose a little bit of control in the situation, don't we? The irony is we have absolutely no control. We'll surrender the anxiety, we tell God, if you'll tell us how it's going to turn out. Right? Tell me how it's going to turn out, God. Then I'll trust you. Then I'll let you have the anxiety. Until that time, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to help you worry about it. Now, we don't say that consciously, but our actions reflect that, don't they? That's what, in effect, we're saying. Once you tell me the outcome, then I might be willing to let go of my anxiety when I know things are safely in place. And the real challenge for us as believers is to humble ourselves before God and to yield ourselves to God's gracious keeping. This requires deep faith. This requires trust in the one who created us in hope, who redeemed us in mercy, and who continues to sustain us in His love. Amen? So we have to be able to live this life in whatever suffering we're experiencing with hope, with perseverance, with faith, and for no other reason that God is present with us. Young people, He's with you. In the hallways at school, He's with you. Adults, in work, in your civic activities, wherever you go, God is with you. And for those of us who hate uncertainty, almost more than anything else, we have to resist the temptation to be overcome by uncertainty. Because instead, we need to place our faces toward the future. You know, we have to understand that God, the God who loves us, is creating our future for us even now. Even if things are going well for us. And you may say, well, preacher, you're just not relating to me this morning because things are going pretty good. Well, remember, life comes at you fast. Teenagers, think about it. Things may be going great right now. You're getting ready to finish up the school year. Things are looking good. You're planning your summer. For those of you that are graduating, you don't know what you're getting ready to plan or encounter. That's okay. That's okay. You may have an idea of what the next step may look like, but you can't control it. There's no way. There's no way we can control life. But we can control how we live it and how we respond to suffering and adversity that gets placed in our path. We can live anxiously. We can cling to that anxiety, always afraid of what's around the next corner, and we can be defeated by that anxiety. We can let it depress us, or the alternative to that, sometimes what we do instead of letting it depress us, we become involved in this dramatic frenzy of activity to try to deflect it. But all this will do is give anxiety the power to destroy our lives and destroy our happiness. No, wait a minute. Let me correct myself. Destroy our joy. And that's a far worse crime. You see, instead of doing that, the alternative is to turn to God and those around us. Turn to God and to those around us. One of the greatest lies that Satan would have us believe is that we're in this alone. That God expects us just to suck it up and deal with it. That the people around us really don't care. That we're in this alone. And the reason he wants that for us is because he wants us to fall back in the pattern of thinking that life is unreliable just as the giver of life is unreliable. And that's a lie. He wants us to believe that all we can do is just brace ourselves for the next blow and hope it doesn't take us out. That's what he wants us to believe. Peter says, beloved, that's no way to live. We don't have to be afraid of what tomorrow holds. We know personally the God who is still in the midst of us, caring for us, giving us hope. We know Him personally. Not even suffering can separate us from the love of God. No one in this world needs to suffer alone. You've heard the old saying, it's easier to suffer in silence when everyone knows about it. And that's true to a certain extent. You know, we may feel as though we're alone in our suffering. But not only is God with us, look on either side of you. Those people are with us too. Brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't have to be alone in our suffering unless we choose to. Look at the people all around us. Turn around, it's okay. Worship is participatory. It's not a spectator sport. Look at the people all around us. These are brothers and sisters in Christ who God gave us to help us understand the full extent of His love and His mercy and His care for us. Because we need each other. And above all else in existence, we need God, every single one of us. We need God's love to keep us going. We need God's mercy so that we can have the energy just to sometimes take the next breath. And in those times when we have trouble believing, we need to reach out to one another and be God's word of hope to one another. God and only God restores us. God and only God supports us, strengthens us, and establishes us. And we need to remind ourselves and one another what God has done. Recount the mighty deeds of God. And we did that earlier in the service. As you turn to one another, said, Robert, I'm thankful for so-and-so. I'm thankful for revival this week. What were you thankful for? What are you thankful for? You are recounting the mighty deeds of God. That's what you're doing when you offer thanksgiving. You are recounting what He has done in your life. And if God has done all of these things in the past, surely God will act again. And that is our source of hope. In suffering, that is our source of hope. That is our hope in the midst of suffering. And this morning, what I want to do, as we enter into a time of response, the invitation, I know it says we're going to sing a hymn, but I don't want to sing a hymn. I want the organist, if she would, just to play the hymn. And what I want you to do, would you join me in standing, just right where you are? And in just a moment, I'm going to ask her to start playing. And when she does, I want you to turn to one another, just as you did in Thanksgiving. I want you to turn to one another and quietly share something that has you anxious. Something that you cannot turn loose of. Something that hurts your heart. Literally sometimes. Just wears you down. Some way that you are suffering this morning. I said in joking a few minutes ago, but I believe it. Worship is not a spectator sport. And as ministers, fellow ministers, we should pray for one another. We should be willing to share and encourage. We do need each other. So I want you to turn to the person beside you or maybe in front of you, see what is bothering them, and pray for one another. Share briefly, and then have your brother or sister in Christ pray for you. I'll be here at the front. If you would like to come and receive Christ, I certainly welcome that. Be glad to share with you how you can have a relationship with Christ. Be glad to talk with you about anything that's concerning you, or if you would like to be a member of this church, be glad to share with you how we receive members. But this morning, I want our focus to be on loving and encouraging, sharing hope with one another through openly expressing things that we're anxious about and having a brother and sister in Christ to pray for us. To pray openly for us. I know this may seem a little awkward at first. We've never done that before, preacher. But I think it's an important part of what we do as the church to know that our brothers and sisters are there for us. So if you would go ahead and start playing, Sheila, you all begin sharing with one another and praying for one another.
I really hate to bring this to an end, and I won't.
I'll just have a little pause, and then you can continue after the when the organ begins playing the postlude. Please continue. It's a beautiful thing. I'm convinced there's nothing more precious to our Father's ears than to hear His children offering up prayer on behalf of one another and praising Him for who He is and how He sustains us. Amen.
Amen.
Hear this blessing from God's Word. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace." Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.